Good morning, everyone. It's a good morning. It's been a tough week, but we're here. God has blessed us and spared us to come to this special place, to this sacred space, for one purpose and one purpose alone, and that is to worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's kind of a difficult morning for me, apart from not being totally 100% out from under this, whatever this bug is, and everybody, a lot of people have been going through it. But I'm just glad to be here anyway. I want to welcome those of you who are here in the chapel, all the regulars. This is our family of faith, isn't it? I feel so good when I see your faces on Sunday morning because I know that you come from your communities all the way over to the VA hospital to worship. And I think it's just an awesome thing to do. I know it warms the hearts of the patients to know that. I wish that they could see you on television. Maybe we can get a camera that will focus on you someday. But anyway, and those of you who are watching on Channel 15, we welcome you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this morning, I miss saying, and good morning to you, Frank. I know you're watching. I know that he is watching, but he's not watching from his room. For those of you who may not know, our dear Frank Parrick, the family that's been coming for like 4 or 5 years here, Jane and the girls. Frank went home to be with the Lord on Tuesday. And that saddens our hearts on one hand, but on the other hand, we know that he is present with the Lord. And we're just grateful for him. I want to announce right now, before I forget it, that the service for Frank, the celebration of his life, will be here next Monday at 4 o'clock in the chapel here.
A week from tomorrow.
And we're just hoping that everybody can come and help us to love on Jane and the family and let them know how much we want to fill the gap as much as we can. I know that Shirley and Julie, this must be tough for them too because they walked on these same roads just not too long ago when Mr. Fletcher passed away. But this is a part of life. And we're here for one another. So this morning, we're going to thank God for everything. Thank Him for being here. And so we begin our services, as we always do, with our opening sentences. The Lord be with you. Let us pray our unison prayer together that's printed on the left side of the page there. For those of you who have it, are you ready? Let us pray. Oh God, whose glory it is always to have mercy. Be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways and bring them again with penitent hearts, steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word. Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. If you'll open up your insert, there are the words to the songs we'll be singing this morning that gets our praises started. But I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter. As we go on to go a little higher, we're going to sing, we bring the sacrifice of praise. That is the only sacrifice we can bring. Jesus already did the other. He paid it all. We can bring the sacrifice of praise to his holy name simply because he's worthy of all glory, honor, and praise. Let's sing it. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house. And And as we prepare our hearts to thank God for being God in our lives and in our situations, and also to ask Him for things we yet need, the next song I selected so that it can get us in an attitude that says God is able to get us through whatever it is we need Him to help us do. I love this song. It helps plow up that fallow ground of the heart. Let us know how much we are needy people. Yes. And also to affirm the fact that we serve a big God. A God who is all powerful and can do anything but fail. Let that permeate our spirits as we sing the words to this song. Then after we do, I'm going to ask you to list the names of people you'd like to lift up in prayer. And we're going to pray. Let us sing. He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He is able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. My God is able, more than able, to make me what He wants me to be. One more time. He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. What do you need Him to do? He is able, more than able, to handle your way. He is able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. My God is able, more than able, to make me what He wants me to be. I'm so glad about that. I'm so very glad about that one thing. How about you? Something about that confidence that grips you and lets you know that no matter how terrible you may feel or may hurt, God is still able to bring you through it, to hold you close, to love you through it. So as we prepare to go before the Lord to accept His invitation, to cast all of our cares on Him, simply because He cares for us. Let's do that today. We want to pray especially for Frank, his family, for Jane, and for the girls, for the son, for all who loved him. That includes us. We want to pray for all the bereaved. I see several people in the audience who have recently lost loved ones. So glad to see you. I miss him too. Glad you're coming today. Yeah. Cliff Balrick went home to be with the Lord just a few weeks ago, and his wife is here this morning. Thank you for coming. We're going to love you too through this. Also want to pray for those that are in harm's way. Folks, our troops are still dying every day in Iraq and Afghanistan. And it's not over. Families are still being affected. There's a lot going on in our world. The planet got some things going on, wouldn't you say? It's prayer time. It's time. If ever there was a time we needed to pray, it's now. And you know, God said, if His people would humble ourselves and pray, He would hear from heaven. I believe that. Or else I wouldn't pray. And I pray all day, every day. I know that God hears and answers prayer. So whatever is on your heart today, those of you who are watching on Channel 15, if you're in your beds, nurses' stations, employees, wherever you are, know that God is where you are, and He will hear your heart cry if you just give it to Him. If there are names on your hearts you'd like to call out, you may call them out aloud.
Tom and Bill, both in spinal cord.
Tom and Bill in spinal cord.
John Miller.
John Miller. All the homeless vets all over the land and country. Hold them on your heart. God knows who they are. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, we thank you that when we call upon you, we know you hear. You hear us all together and you hear us individually. Lord, there are some things we can't put into words. That's why I'm glad you know our hearts. You know our thoughts before we think them. We come knowing that you are all-powerful and you are in control of everything. Become confident. Confident of your steadfast love. For you have been better to us than we've been to ourselves. And for this we're grateful. We also come penitent. We come recognizing and admitting that we have fallen short in some ways. And as we scan our hearts and minds to be honest before you this morning, help us to see those things and lift them up to you and surrender them to you. And then, Lord, we've left some things undone that we probably should have done. Forgive us for that as well. And in this moment of prayer, draw us closer to you than we've ever been before. Help us to feel the warmth of your presence deep down in our hearts. This morning, oh God, our hearts are heavy, but we know you're a heart lifter. We know that you will give us all that we came here to get. We're depending on that. All the prayer requests that have been mentioned and those that were not, the unspoken ones, we pray that you would answer, oh God. And now we pray the prayer together that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Our responsive reading this morning comes from Psalm 27. I'm going to read the fine print. You read the bold, and we'll do the last one together. With the living and eternal God as our goal and guide, fear and anxiety need have no place in my life. The very legions of hell lay siege to my soul, only to be thwarted by a power far greater.
I have one primary and ultimate desire, to abide within the love and acceptance of God. Within this tender air, I know I am safe.
Therefore, I will stand tall regardless of threatening enemies and tyranny of evil. I will counter the subtle voices of temptation with exclamations of praise to my God.
My God does hear when I cry out to him. He does not ignore my
It is possible to know and experience God's love in this uncertain, tumultuous existence. Take courage, step out in faith, scorn the consequences, and let God have his way with you. Amen. Isn't that good? That's mighty good. Something about the word of God is just mighty good. It hits right in the spot. That was one. That Psalm 27 is great. As we prepare our hearts for the message, we're going to sing one of the great hymns of the church, How Firm a Foundation. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. Fear not, I will you, oh, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will still give you aid. I'll strengthen you, help you, and cause you to stand upheld by my gracious omnipotent hand. When through the deep waters I call you to go, the river of woe shall not you overflow, for I will be with you, your troubles to bless and sanctify you, your deepest distress. When through fiery trials your path we shall lie, my grace is sufficient, shall be your supply. The flame shall not hurt you, I only design your dross to consume and your gold to refine. Lord, I'm so glad about that. I'm glad about your word. Thank you for leaving it here for us to instruct us, to encourage us, to strengthen us. We ask you now to speak powerfully through these lips of clay, words of hope, words of encouragement, words that will prepare our hearts to journey with you here, to get the victory in the midst of our circumstances, and then that eternal hope to spend eternity in your presence. Be with us now in this preaching moment is our prayer. Through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Amen. This morning, our message is entitled, well, actually, I'm talking about something that is rampant in our world. And it's a four-letter word called fear. 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 The world is being riddled with fear. Fear of so many things. It's causing people to behave in ways that is totally, incredibly awful. Fear of not having enough. Fears at home, fears in the workplace, fears globally and in the nation. Fear grips the hearts and souls of so many people, young and old, fearful of something. Fear is evil. I want to tell you that first of all. Fear is evil. It's a punishment. Fear in itself is a punishment. Whatever you're fearing, you're already being punished by just fearing. It destroys hope. Fear is the curse of this world. People are afraid of poverty, loneliness, afraid of unemployment, of loss of house, loss of mates, terrorism, afraid of sickness, afraid that things won't happen the way they hope they will. Many, many, many are the fears of humankind today. Fear, fear everywhere. But you know what? There's no room. No room for fear in the heart where Jesus dwells. Did you know that? It cannot exist where love is and where faith is. Faith banishes fear. Our text today comes from 1 John chapter 4. It talks all about how perfect love casts out fear. But before I go there, I want to just say, with all of the things that, and truly there are things in the world that would make sense to our carnal minds, our human minds, to be afraid of. And indeed, if the Lord Jesus is not Lord of your life, then I have no solution for you. But if the Lord Jesus is the Lord of your life, then there is help that we don't have to be afraid. He's told us. Over 300 times in Scripture, he says, be not afraid. Be not afraid. We're not supposed to be afraid. Faith is the antidote for fear. But you know something? All the duct tape in the world won't protect us from chemical or biological weapons. But it is surely, it may do that. It may help. Some people say it does. But it won't protect us from the erosive and the corrosive, soul-destroying impact of fear. Fear is used by people to put confidence in them. That's how people have been cheated out of their money. That's why people who have ill-gotten gains have because of what? Fear. They implant fear in people's minds. What's going to happen? What if insurance companies are, you know. People are told, if you don't do this, you don't do this, this will happen. And so they begin all kind on every level. God wants us to know today, that's not how he wants it. In this book, he said, these things were written so that you may, through the scriptures, be encouraged and you might have hope. Romans 15:4. The hardships that we endure, it takes more than eloquent words, even spiritual words, to soothe us, to keep us from being afraid sometimes. So you say, well, what do we do? What do we do to keep from being afraid in the midst of situations that are frightful? Let me read 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to start with the 13th verse. He says, we know that we live in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God and lives in him, and he is God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. Therefore, there is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. As he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brothers and his sisters. But that 18th verse, there is no fear in love. It's about God's love is perfect. It's not about you. It's not about me. But it's all about God. God's perfect love, knowing that God loves us, casts out all fear. But it's hard for us human beings to get that concept, that indwelling. The key is God indwelling me and me indwelling God. How do we get that concept clear in our minds? I ran across a very good example. I thought it helped me, and I'll share it with you in my study. You know how if you put a dry sponge into a pail of water, what happens? It becomes saturated with the element, doesn't it? Then the water is in the object, and the object is in the water. A balloon, when you blow up a balloon, inflate it, the air is in the balloon, and the balloon is floating in the air. Can you bring that imagery into you being immersed and saturated in God? And God being in you, imagine the hugeness and the bigness of God indwelling you. Does it work for you? If you meditate on that, just think that indwelling of God's Spirit in us so empowers us, so buoys us. We cannot. It forces out fear. It forces out anything that's not like it. When we realize that we've been invited to allow the Spirit of God to invade us, to indwell us, Christ in me, the hope of glory. God in me and I in him. Jesus was constantly talking about that. I and the Father are one. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one. We are one in Christ Jesus. Dwell in him, and when we dwell in him, we have that inner strength. Because the bigness of God is in us, and we are in the bigness of God. That's the key. We don't have to have any fear when we're indwelt by the maker of heaven and earth. Trust him. That's what he asks us to do. The psalmist said in Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light. Whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me, they stumbled and fell." God is with us through whatever it is we're going through, whatever it is we're fearing. Know that he said, "Do not fear. I am with you. Don't be afraid. I'm with you always." Fling aside fear. Refuse to fear. Fight it like you would the plague. Whatever it is you hate most, hate fear. Because fear is crippling. It's paralyzing. It is no good. And God has told his children not to fear. I'm with you. No matter what, I'm going to go with you. You know, it's a wonderful thing to know the promises of God. If you don't know them, you can't access them. That's why you need to get in this word and find out what the promises are. And then access them and hold them up to God. God is accountable. He'll be there. He'll do everything he said he would do. We hear the invitation of Jesus in Scripture to serve him by following him. We learn to look fully into our fears and our losses and not to evade them. By greeting life's fears with faith, we find something unexpected when we do. When we find the courage to look into that newly dug grave, and we find courage to look into that situation that craters our soul, we find something unexpected. There's something that's captivating in the eyes of a person who is burdened with tribulations and cares, and yet they're carrying with them a heart that is sound as a bell. Something captivating about that. By inviting God into our difficulties, we ground life, even its sad times, even its frightening moments, and we drowned them, the fears, in joy and hope. Think about that sponge. You drowned the fear, which is probably like the dryness of the sponge. That sponge cannot stay dry in the water, can it? Can't. Neither can we stay sad and frightened when we allow God to permeate our souls. When we allow God to be as big as he wants to be in us. And we trust God that he's with us, in us, through us, and for us. And where God is, there can be no imperfection. We cannot understand that in our carnal minds, but in our spiritual selves, we can. We can grasp that concept only in the Spirit. And what we do, we triumph over sickness while we're in it. We triumph over death while we're dying, over circumstances while we're in them. Jesus has promised to be with us always. Isaiah said it wonderfully in Isaiah 41:10. He says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Those are the promises. So today, I hope we will all make a decision to try harder to visualize ourselves being immersed in the Spirit of God, having it in us, and we're floating all in it, and all is well in him. Amen? Amen? Be not afraid. Don't be afraid. Fling aside fears. It's an enemy to your soul. We'll get you nowhere. But God wants us to know that we cannot trust him more than when we are not fearing but trusting. And that's what he wants us to do. This song says it so clearly. I'm going to try to sing it for you. Listen to the words. You shall cross the barren desert, but you shall not die of thirst. You shall wander far in safety, though you do not know the way. You shall speak your words in foreign lands, and all will understand. You shall see the face of God and live. Be not afraid. I go before you always. Come, follow me. If you pass through raging waters of the sea, you shall not drown. If you walk amid the burning flame, you will not be harmed. If you stand before the powers of hell and death is at your side, know that I am with you through it all. So be not afraid. I go before you always. Come, follow me. Love this verse. Blessed are the poor, for the kingdom shall be theirs. Blessed are you that weep and mourn, for one day you shall laugh. And if wicked ones insult and hate you all because of me, blessed, blessed are you. Be not afraid. That's what Jesus said. I go before you always. Come, follow me. Lord, I thank you for that promise. Thank you that we can go through raging waters and storms, that we can go through all the difficulties of life, and we don't have to be afraid. We can choose to trust you. You've gone before us. You said to follow you. Help us to do that today. Be with us now. We ask that you would strengthen hearts, that you would be with the bereaved, that you would give us all that we need as we go forth from this place. May we go forth filled with your being and with your presence, and allowing ourselves to float in your precious and awesome presence. We ask all of these things in the strong and mighty name of Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. And everyone says together, amen. Amen. Now we're going to sing a song together, I Will Trust in the Lord. Here it goes. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. Well, I'm gonna stay on my bended knee. I'm gonna stay on bended knee. I'm gonna stay on bended knee until I die. I'm gonna stay on bended knee. I'm gonna stay on bended knee. I'm gonna stay on. Well, I am gonna trust in.